Welcome back. It's always wonderful to head into the coach's box on a Wednesday evening because it's the exact day. The hump day is probably the day when the coaching staff has completed their look back and is starting to immerse themselves in the next opponent. And we'd like to do both of that with the North Melbourne assistant coach, forwards coach, Shane Watson. Good evening, Shane.
G'day, Finey. How are you?
I'm well. I'm probably just assuming because it's the middle of the week that that might be a good day where there's still some work, residual work from last weekend and some work going forward. Am I trying to make a story for myself or is that partially true?
You've made a strong case. Yeah, we've done all our individual and team review from Essendon and we've finished our, not totally finished, but our preview to the Fremantle game over in Perth.
I would have thought that the North Melbourne Essendon game for both sets of coaches, coaching staff from both teams, was frustrating. Of course, given that you win the game, that frustration can easily be set aside and positives drawn from it. But there was a lot of great football played and, in the last instance, let down by a skill error. They're probably best highlighted by those two great marks, Lindsay Thomas for your team and Joe Danaher for the Bombers, were both missed shots. But There was a lot more than that. It was 9/10 of a great effort by both teams and I think maybe some execution errors.
Yeah, both teams, if you're an Essendon supporter, you probably think your team deserved to win. And if you're a North supporter, you probably thought we deserved to win. But you're right, it was a bit sloppy and a bit scrappy early. And arguably, for a majority of the game, it was the team that could hit the scoreboard more often and get it inside 50 and score, probably. But I don't think a lot of the game will be on too many highlight reels.
But does Brad recognise that as being a really good game to win when everybody knows probably on the field and those who can't control things except for the move in the coach's box that we're just not clicking, yet you leave on Friday night with 4 points. Does he take that as exactly as going forwards, say, from the last couple of seasons?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I forget who made comment, but someone said a couple of years ago, they're the games we would have lost every time when both teams probably didn't play to their full capacity. But certainly when you drive out of Etihad at 11:30, you're certainly got a smile on a face, that's for sure.
Shane, Nigel Carmody, thanks for your time tonight.
Okay, Nigel.
We're talking before you came on just about the abundance of riches you've got in terms of players who can go through your front half of the ground. As the forwards coach, that's obviously wonderful to have all those options. At any point does it become not so much a hindrance, but confusing or difficult to manage given you're trying to completely structure a settled six at times as opposed to having a bunch of different guys rotate through there?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I guess the guys that you've got to manage more are the ones who aren't in the team because the ones that are in the team are sort of happy every week at the moment. It's probably managing your Aaron Blacks, Kane Turner more recently, our injured forwards who are nearly ready to play again in Taylor Garner and Kieran Harper, guys like that. That's an ongoing battle, and that's just work between myself and the development coaches who take care of them when they're playing the VFL.
Jared Waite's an interesting footballer. He came to North with a reputation, good and bad, for various reasons. One thing that's rarely commented about Jared, and I'd like to get it from yourself as a forward coach, is I would have thought he's really nice to have in your forward line because even though he's a high mark and he leads, he's got this innate understanding of not getting in other people's way. He sort of does it. I've always felt that he's been able to be in the forward line and play number one, number two, or even number three quite naturally.
You're 100% funny. I don't think I've seen too many instances this year where Jared's competed against a Drew Petrie or a Ben Brown. And you're right, like he does lead up and get the ball that way. And he does float across and take those marks third in. But I reckon you're spot on. Like there hasn't been too many times at all. He's he's got a good sense of where the other forwards are. And coming from a different system, it's taken him a little while, but I think he's fitted in with the other two key forwards who have been there really well.
How have you viewed Robin Nahas's year so far, Shane? I imagine you and the rest of the coaching staff will be wrapped for him personally with the contribution he's been able to make after, you know, being in some peril, I guess, late last year and being put back to the rookie list.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Robin's attitude was really good at his end-of-year interview. He just said, whether I'm on the senior list, rookie list, I'd just love an opportunity. And if it came up, he'll grab it. And since he's come in round two, he sort of hasn't really looked back. And by his own admission, he knows his game is based around pressure, tackling, trying to cause a turnover, and hopefully kick a couple of goals while he's doing that. And up to this stage, he's doing that really well. And we're really pleased for him that he's taken his chance.
Ben Brown, from what we know, was restricted to lighter duties today at your main training. What does that mean in terms of the possibility of him playing this weekend? And fast-forwarding, if he was out of the team, possible permutations of who might come in?
Yeah, he was on light duties, more of a management thing, just with a history of his with his knee. But we'll see how he pulls up. Day off tomorrow, and we train Friday morning, so he'll be training then, and we'll make a decision on him probably as late as then. But the guys who, if he doesn't come up, you're probably looking at Mason Wood, who was rested or managed or however you want to look at it last week. You've got Aaron Black, who played pretty well with North Ballarat. I would say that would be the main two, along with Majak Dor, who also played well for Werribee.
I would say if you asked most football fans, what is the toughest assignment as it reads this year? They would say Fremantle in Perth. And that's what's next up for North Melbourne. A challenge that in the past North has enjoyed getting their teeth stuck into a trip to Perth. I don't know if it's always worked out perfectly, but it seems as though, certainly under Brad Scott, there's always been a bit of a plan of how to play that ground and how to play the two teams there.
Yeah, you're right. And we've had a little bit of success over there, not always winning, whether it be West Coast or Fremantle. We had a good win against Fremantle last year when they were playing quite well. And we've had some close games within a couple of goals against West Coast over the last few years. So I'm not sure whether the ground suits our game or, we enjoy playing in the state. Our record hasn't always been that great elsewhere, but in Perth, as I said before, not always winning, but we're always around the mark there.
That means that the team that played against Essendon, Ben Brown, of course, we've already discussed, is playing on a very different ground. Now, I'm not asking for any selection advice here, but North Melbourne has got players, as you've mentioned, right across the ground that could come in.
Yes.
Have you this season and picked teams for the ground and for the opponent? It's something that I think happens a little bit in football, and I reckon North might be well placed to do it because you've got so many permutations.
Yeah, it's probably happening a little bit more. I'd say it probably happens more middle to late in the year, more than the start of the year, where the top teams see themselves where they're situated on the ladder, and some of them, maybe depending whether they can manage certain maybe older guys throughout the year or develop new ones. But at this stage of the year, you generally try and pick your best 22, but also in the back of your mind, certainly that the opposition that you're coming up against certainly plays a role in that as well.
And Shane, in terms of developing new ones, an opportunity for new leaders to be developed with Andrew Swallow's thumb injury, who are some of the players you'd be looking to step up beyond the obvious Harvey and Petries?
Yeah, well, Zeeble and Cunnington both had good games last week. The guys in the middle, Andrew Swallow didn't miss a lot of footy last year with his Achilles, so and Zeeble and Cunnington certainly led the way. Zeeble's a nominated leader at the club, and Cunnington is certainly heading that way. We're gonna have to, we've got a couple of injuries, obviously, to Del Sano and Wells. So we've got Del Sano, Wells, Swallow out. So we're going to have to find them from different avenues or reward guys who are playing well in the midfield in the VFL.
One last one before we let you go. Shane Watson's been our guest this evening and North Melbourne forward coach. It's almost become the standard that the positional coaches who work as assistant coaches at AFL clubs are responsible for parts of the ground that we didn't associate with them as players. Now, I'm not saying you didn't drift forward, but you were a classic sort of midfielder and would have been what we call now one of the hard-running players, a real valuable commodity because you certainly could stand up inside and run outside. So people might have thought, oh, Shane Watson, he'll be there to help our midfield. But forwards go back, backs go forwards. How does this division of work occur, and do you have a say in what part of the ground you're coaching, or are you comfortable doing any of the nominally three areas of midfield, defensive or forward?
I played a little bit midfield, but probably almost half back and forward as a player. So it's funny. Like, I did the back line for 4 years, and this is my second year doing our forward line. So, it's sort of a lot of stuff that you coach as a defensive coach. You can bring to the forwards and then the defenders and midfields. The midfielders, certainly value the forwards who can defend well. So, you just sort of concentrate on your area pretty much. But often you'll see the game played and all the players in one half of the ground. So they certainly they have to know what they're doing in other parts of the ground as well.
But you'll never be ruck coach, will you, Shane?
I doubt it.
Ruckman or Alora, they just stick to themselves.
Yeah, they're a different breed. But Alex Ashenko is handling our ones okay. So they're smarter than we give them credit for.
So they tell us. Shane, thank you so much. North Melbourne is sort of one of the more intriguing stories this year because they could be a top 14, they could really challenge, and they need to be dotting their I's and crossing their T's to make sure that they don't even miss out altogether. It's pretty competitive. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Finey. Nigel.